urine, you know. And you just walk in and wait till they get everything read out. You know, if they ask you to come forward, go forward. And then wait until the judge addresses you.
Wait till the judge addresses me. What about if
don't address anything else other than they'll say, come forward, you know, they'll call your name.
Even if the clerk of the court talks to me, do I talk to them?
Yeah, you just let them go until the judge, you know. Apparently they'll have a judge there, you know, on a bench, behind the bench. Then that's who you approach, and you address him. And then if he says something, you say, are you addressing me?
Are you addressing me? I tell you what.
That's a good term.
Shall we go through it as though we're in court right now? I tell you what, I'll be good shafting in court, and you can be the judge. So I'm standing there before you, Mr. T, Magistrate T, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing there good as a sovereign. So what are you going to say to me?
Well, if everything is read, you know, according to the, you know, the sworn of the Bible and all the, you know, bailiffs and, you know, after they go through their scenario, the judge will probably say, what's your name?
Are you addressing me?
Yes, I am addressing you.
Well, is this is this a civil or criminal matter?
It's civil.
Well, it's a civil matter, then there would be a contract. Would you produce it so that I can make amends?
Next case.
Do you mean I passed, Mr. T,
next,
Magistrate
next
T?
Next case, yeah.
What about if he said criminal? Should we do that?
You may. Is it,
okay, we'll start again. I'm standing there, standing there, Magistrate T, and you're looking at me, and you're going to say something. You asked me to identify
What's
myself.
What's your name?
Are you addressing me?
I am.
Is this a civil case or a criminal case?
Criminal.
Criminal. Now, that would require an injured party, wouldn't it? If you present the injured party, I'll make amends.
And then he'll lean over and talk to his bailiff or sidekick and prosecutor. And he'll say...
You mean I passed again?
You passed again.
You think it's really
now,
as simple as that?
A lot of things they might say. So,
but should I start chatting to them and engaging with them and trying to banter myself out of it?
No, just make your way out of, you know. You could ask him if you're free to leave.
Am I free to leave, Magistrate T?
I don't think that's a bad thing to say.
No, no. It's polite.
And they don't like to tell you they're free to leave. I actually had them tell me that I was free to leave.
Well, I suppose you could say something like...
Because I really pressed the issue.
Yes. I suppose you could say that it appears that your business here is done and you're leaving. I could say, it appears, Magistrate T, that my business here is done. Is it not? Does anyone object if I leave? How about that?
Well, just ask him. Address to him, not anybody or anything.
Do you, Magistrate T, object if I leave? It appears business is
done.
Just
say, I would just suggest... what did I say before? Am I free to leave?
Am I free to leave?
Keep it real simple.
Magistrate.
Because we might like to make these things complicated.
That's right.
We're like singing their tune then, because they make it sound musical. But we don't have to be that way. We get right to the point.
Am
I free to leave?
You know, last time I was in court...
Don't try to impress them.
No.
Or pretty soon they'll have you in jail. That will be impressing them.
You know, this can be a problem with some of the commercial redemption avenues. They are clever. They do depend on cleverness. And I've had magistrates with them before. But, you know, speaking honestly, I think it's only because they were confused and frightened by the materials. But if they knew what they were doing, they could have picked holes in my documents, my submissions, my notices. And they could have had me over a grilling post, I suppose.
Before, possibly.
Yes,
I know that's the way I was. That's why...
It's very tempting to get clever.
Lost.
It's very tempting to get clever with them.
But don't get clever or don't get music or harmonia. Just keep it real simple.
That's what we've gone through just here. So I'm in court, or Mrs. Goodshafting's in court, and I'm standing there, I'm saying nothing to anyone, nothing at all. I might be... Placing my hand on the Bible, is that creating joinder or a contract?
Yeah.
Would I be doing that? Would I place my hand on the Bible? Would I
be
make
sworn an oath? I'd be putting documents or instruments on the record, exhibits.
So I just stand there before the judge.
Why would you want to swear something that they haven't sworn to yet?
I don't want to swear anything. So I'd stand there before him.
Huh?
I'd just stand before the magistrate and wait for him to speak.
You never want to make an oath or make anything.
I'll just stand and wait.
As soon as you make an oath, you're causing a dispute.
Ah.
Or a witness, a testimony or witness.
Best thing to do is say nothing, right?
You mean towards the oath or to stepping in the witness box?
Stepping in the witness box. They'll ask me who I am, the clerk of the court.
Are you addressing me? Or you can also say, are you trying to make a determination?
You know, something also...
But that addressing you, are you addressing me, is really something to remember right
it's now. Something, it sounds like that's something that's pivotal, because after all, they're not really
addressing
you.
Me?
Are you addressing
they're
me?
They're only addressing your name, not you.
That's right.
And blood.
The truth is they're not addressing you.
Me.
I'm addressing you. I can address you as Timothy Bumpkin, if I knew that were your name. But if I say Mr. T, that's got a mister in front of it, and really I'm not addressing the living man with that name at all, am I?
Right.
And they're not addressing me as Mr. Goodshafter.
See, in the power of attorney, they got name, and me and my name. And I talked to a man here a while back, pretty well educated, very affluent, you know. We were talking about that.
Because you're not
power
your
of attorney.
You're
and
not
I said,
your...
what do you suppose it says on the power of attorney? It says me and my name. I said, why would they have me and A-N-D, my name? Why would they have that? And I was asking him. See, a lot of times we give everybody the answer instead of letting everybody use their own mind and come up with their own material. If we give them the answer, then they're going to have to think.
That's right.
Use any of their intellect or anything.
I find that in my own experience, it's far more powerful if you learn it yourself.
Right.
We can give clues.
Give clues. Don't give everybody the punchline.
Sovereign T was just singing here that he's in chains because they've captured his name. Do you think that's what he was singing about?
Possibly.
He was in chains. They've captured his name.
Right.
But he's discovering his sovereignty and setting himself free.
They weren't talking about him, flesh and blood. They were talking about his name.
So I think maybe the best thing to do on reflection of all of this is spread the news about sovereignty and all that that means and how it can unleash our true potential and our true standing in these inconvenient circumstances when we might find ourselves presented with proposed liabilities or, heaven forbid, be standing in court in front of a magistrate.
The power of attorney is... A lot of times I'll use that. I said, hey, I didn't give you any power of attorney, did I? And they just, that's it. That's dead. It dies. Whatever they're, trying to...
You just say to the magistrate, I didn't give you power of attorney.
Well, ask him if...
Does he have power of attorney?
You gave him any power of attorney.
Very polite.
See what he says.
He can't exactly say contempt of court if you ask him that, can he?
Well, you can say he's a civil or criminal, even if he finds you in contempt. They grab you. You say, well, he's a civil or criminal. Even if they pull, they'll usually take you in custody as soon as that's, if you prove the first step of contempt, if you consent to it, they'll take you right away, they'll grab you.
I tell you what,
and
just for a moment.
And then there's a second step and a third step. There are three steps to contempt. The first one is in the courtroom when they find you in contempt and grab you, and take you into custody. Then the next step is they'll take you off to jail.
And what's
actually,
the final step?
Actually, that's not the next step. The next step is they'll take you off, but then you'll book in. That's the second step.
I've heard this.
If you book in, then you fulfill the
They
second
need
step.
Your consent.
You
is that right?
Your consent.
They want you to sign
Even
and
if
say...
they say that you're going to be in here until supper is served at 5:30, so you'll
that's
be
right.
in here
sign
until
the menu.
6 until we take you. They aren't going to tell you that. They'll take you back to a hearing, but they'll get you to sign that meal. You think a meal ticket, and you're signing in for the duration of the night and whenever they take you back to court.
It's like signing into the misery
hotel. Contempt. By signing some meal ticket. Don't sign nothing.
Sign nothing whatsoever.
But then they'll take you back to a hearing that day before the sun goes down.
Oh, that's better. And then you can have a rerun.
And then
just
you can
remember.
Have a rerun of the contempt. Is it civil or criminal?
Is it civil?
Then you won't get back into that. You'll be going home.
Because, of course, there's no contract in civil contempt, and there's no injured party.
There's no injured party.
In criminal contempt.
Complaint.
Unless the judge is going to say he's been injured by your outrageous behavior.
You can give him a remedy by, paying him what just due because you injured him in some way.
I suppose you could
but
ask him to.
Chances are he ain't going to commit perjury and say that you injured him.
No. I suppose you could ask him, are you saying...
That's what perjury is all about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I see.
And he's not going to commit perjury, because they're real careful about that.
Do you know what I see in all of this, Mr. T? I've been looking at commercial redemption, and I've been looking at the sovereignty and free man and all sorts of movements. And the unique thing about the sovereignty is that the more you look at it, the more you understand it, the simpler everything becomes. When you look at commercial redemption, although I'm not condemning it entirely, some commercial procedures can be useful, such as liens for affecting people who have hurt you. You're seeking a remedy, but it's not depending on something that places you within their jurisdiction, not meaning you're going to go to jail if you get it wrong. But what I'm saying is, commercial redemption gets more and more complicated. The more you look at it, you find out there's things you should have included that you never included, and you find out once you go down a rabbit hole that the rabbit hole links to 100 other rabbit holes with little runs going in every direction.
You must buying a lot of carrots. Truckloads of carrots.
A whole damn
rabbit.
That's right. It's a whole damn rabbit city. But
rabbit
you're quite
city.
Right. You're quite
you
right. It's a rabbit city.
Organic rabbit farm or carrot farm, something.
Perhaps they
call it environmental.
Perhaps so, but what I'm fearing is...
Harry over there with these airplanes to spray a little goo up.
You've been talking about chem sprays tonight. But what I'm saying is it gets simpler and simpler. The beauty of the sovereignty we have is that when it soaks in, you realize that everything is really very simple. And standing up, getting off your knees and standing up for what is true and real and present and standing for something that you... have coming from within you instead of something you're attaching to on the outside. Sovereignty begins with us, starts in our hearts, comes out in everything we do, everything we say. If you're operating in your truth, then you are a sovereign and you are undefeatable.
They say possession is 9/10 of the law. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Are you saying I'm possessed, Magistrate T?
Possession. I didn't say possessed. If you want to take it that way,
that's
fine.
Right.
You must eat a lot of sweet
I guess
stuff.
I guess the commercial Admiralty Maritime guys use that to say that they possess our name. They possess Mr. T and Mr. Goodshafting's name, so that being 9/10 of the law, that gives them quite a good call.
Yeah, I don't feel anything yet.
I don't feel a thing. I can drop the Mr. Just like I can drop a pint of overpriced Guinness. But if I drop to Guinness, I'd be pretty sad.
No sensations here. It's sensational.
It's no good to ask you how it tastes.
Well, that's a toughie. That is a toughie. But I thought that power of attorney, he really gave me a good answer. He thought that name and me and my name, he thought that was the guy that was giving us the attorney or the lawyer, solicitor. And I said, no. I said, did he sign it? He said, no. I said, well, how could you say me and my name is part of that attorney? I said, you're the one that signed it, not him. So
very
he was
strange.
Really a real sharp individual.
Very strange.
Intelligent, all that. And then when he says, well, that part of it belongs to the attorney, or solicitor, barrister, I says, no, you don't see his name out there. You're the guy, you're the man that signed it. The power of attorney is, that's actually what you give them when you hire a solicitor or barrister.
Of course it is.
Or a lawyer or a attorney, whatever you want to call them.
You're giving
you're
your
giving
sovereignty
the power
away.
Of attorney to represent you. Totally.
Are we giving our sovereignty away?
You're giving everything away.
By appointing a solicitor or attorney or barrister?
By relating to my name, me and my name. Because it's two different things. Your name is one thing, and me is your flesh and blood. And that's in every power of attorney.
Well, perhaps people considering that will take a look at those words and perhaps get something up on the forum with Tiernasaur. Have a discussion about that. If you've got an example of that, those words.
You could leave a power of attorney with somebody. That, like, say that you're leaving the country or state or your county, and you're giving some solicitor the power to take care of your property or something. And if you set it up and write it up correctly, then you can take advantage of that power of attorney. Okay, it's nothing bad or nothing illegal about it. It's just that
you have to have a heads up and know what's going on.
And that way, because I've seen court cases where they, put the solicitor, barrister, they took his bar license, they put him in jail, they did a lot of things, they lost the case on, they really goofed up some of the, attorneys. I just call them attorneys or lawyers, solicitors, barristers that violate these. So there's a lot of cases where it isn't always a sovereign that loses. Sometimes the some of these educated men, with law degrees lose. A lot of corporate people lose. A lot of bankers lose. It isn't just the poor sovereign, below the, poverty line or whatever you want to.
I guess anyone can lose at the poker table.
Some of us are below middle class.
Even some of the normal winners lose at the poker table.
Right.
Anyone can lose their chips.
Anybody can lose their chips.
Millionaires, of course. I must confess, I don't have a lot of chips myself, and I don't have much call to sit at the table nowadays playing poker in the United Kingdom. My fantasy about my future life will be one in which I can sustain myself without much need for interacting with commerce. There is, of course,
we got to have commerce because we got to have, food chains and food and...
This is what I mean, Mr. T. I'm looking at growing more of my own food.
They're actually, chartered by the, sovereign corporations, usually. That's where you can't charter they aren't chartered by another charter or another company or an entity. They're usually chartered by some. That's why, I was telling you about the, more or less a limited liability company. They're chartered by another sovereign common law. So they're, most of them, we got to have commerce. We got to have, companies and industrialism. But it's just the control to a certain amount, control of them and how they're chartered. That's all. We got to have commerce. That's the way it was all set up. So if you try to, do away with industry and commerce and companies, we're just letting roll.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to do away with them. I'm just thinking, for my own preference, Mr. T, I'm thinking I like a simple life, A simple life, growing a few vegetables, making some wine and some beer, having time to myself, keep things meek so I don't have to be working on the treadmill all the time, spend time with my family, time with my many children. The less
that's
I need.
That's all we want.
I know,
but
I can't think of
a lot of times we just kind of step out of line, some of us, and then we cry when they step on our toes.
Yeah, that's why.
We just don't really understand we don't appreciate sovereignty, really, if we understand that we have it. Some never enter into it, so they don't know they have it. You gotta lead a reasonable life. You can't get all the rewards.
Fortunately for me, my rewards, I take my pleasures where I find them. Don't I, Mrs. Goodshafting?
But you find that out if you step on, in front of this commerce. Some of these judges or some of these what they call cops or police officers in the garden. Sometimes you'll find out real fast.
I hear of some people who want to destroy their straw man. They want to kill off their legal person. They want to attempt to live entirely right now without commerce. What would you say about that, Mr. T?
You can't do it. You're cutting your own, chopping your own toes off. You're really... I mean, we can go to extremes. And that's not the way it's set up. We're just injuring ourselves when we, you know, don't take advantage of the benefits.
That's right, because there are benefits to be had.
We've probably been abused someplace along the line. Some of us have stepped too far out of line.
For me, it's a matter of taking the benefits, because there are entitlement.
And enjoying them.
After all, these commercial governments are using our birth certificate for a source of credit, so it's only right that we should benefit from that too. But when it comes to them proffering liabilities to me, Mrs. Goodshafting, that are below what I would call my rights, they're saying that even in the absence of harm, injury, or loss, they're going to charge me with something, take my money away, cause me harm. If they're doing that, then that's when I need to remind myself that I'm sovereign and it's not their place to be harming me where I've harmed none other. What would you say about that, Mr. T?
I saw a little Indian girl going to court one time. She was only about 14, 15. I can't really remember how old she was. She went before a judge, and she got picked up for prostitution. She told them that she was Indian. She was sovereign. She didn't really go into a lot of big dialogue. She called the sheriff over, says, escort her out to the curb, you know, to the street. You know, and they did. They didn't. She didn't have any more hassle with that.
That was that.
So she was enjoying, you know, what she thought was proper. And I think she was only around 14. They said she was only around 14 to 16, someplace in there.
Well, where was that, Mr.
That was in Canada.
In Canada.
And that was under the same jurisdiction. That's the British, you know.
That's a shame for that girl. I hope she got some help.
So, you know, I wasn't there to. But it was just rather interesting what transpired.
I could see.
She just honestly told the judge sincerely that it was really none of his business what she was doing, you know. But she told him, you know, that she just said she was Indian, she was sovereign, and she didn't think she had any business in there. And he apparently agreed with her. He mumbled something, and then he asked the sheriff to escort her to the out of the building and to the street.
Well,
on the border of the sidewalk and the, you know, the traffic zone. So I just thought that was rather interesting. And she didn't go into a lot of, you know, jargon, or she just simply said.
It's all very simple, really.
I remember, and she was free. She didn't think it. She just put it across like she really knew it.
She acted sovereign.
Right. She didn't assume it. She didn't suppose it. She just, you know, politely said that she was. I just thought that was interesting because I've never forgotten it.
Sure, it kind of sticks in the mind, doesn't it?
Right. So I don't have all the answers to, you know, how far we can step out of. There is probably limits to what we can, you know, step into a benefit or step out of a benefit. These, you know, the way they got the system set up, like social welfare or social security or whatever it might be. And then they even got county levels. Some of it's on a national level, and then some, if you can't draw the national, you go down to your county and draw that. See, there's actually everything's got a subdivision. Like even in England, they call it the, what do they call it there? Not social security.
That's right.
And then they also got a county system. You can go down and draw allowances from the county is separate from the national. A lot of people probably do it but don't realize that it's totally a different system.
Yes, we've got Shaftesbury County Council.
But you can go down the county and draw funds if you, you know, can't get them from the Social Security. Okay? Benefits.
Sure.
Groceries, food, property allowance. And same way in all the jurisdictions, as far as I know, Australia, Canada, United States, wherever they hung a British flag, you know, you're what you call, continental, or you had another name for it a while ago. You called it something different.
Colonies.
Colonies.
Right.
Well, it was after the colonies.
So you'll have to excuse me now. I need a a break. I've been drinking rather a lot of this Sovereign Ale.
You're getting what they call it? Eating too many chips.
But it's certainly nice talking to you tonight, Mr. T.
Well, thank you, and it's been nice talking to you, the star of the
General Good Sharpening
UK
videos. To anyone who's unfamiliar, just check out my YouTube channel, General Good Shafting on YouTube. Got some videos there, and most recently about sovereignty. And look out in the next week or so for the Dublin Sovereignty Special.
I like the general. I'll never forget you. Never, ever.
Thank you very much, General, and we salute you.
We'll say farewell to the general.
A big thanks to General Goodchaser.
If you're still around, like, you can love
Mr. T, before I forget, somebody online here put a question, and I just want to go back. I'll just have to find it in the chat box, if you just give me a second. And it was in relation to... There we go. What about a situation, Mr. T, where, for example, a judge might want to sanction or question somebody because they might... they try this a lot, apparently. They suggest perhaps you are weak of mind and you might require or you might like a psychiatric assessment of some description. How would one deal with such a thing?
Oh, it's the same as contempt as a civil criminal. Well, you know, the order to, you know, get that for you to, you have to volunteer for it. You know, actually what you do is just ask him a civil criminal.
Even if he says, well, I think you'd benefit from a psychiatric evaluation.
It's not going to go that far if you've already got the, you know, everything out of the way before you get to that stage.
Well, again,
that's,
I mean,
after you get into it.
Well, we were discussing that earlier.
They want to give you a mental exam or something. Your mental state.
Well, I think in fairness, I think some people might be getting a little confused with the different aspects, the different stages,
that's
if you will.
That's into the...
Now, a lot of what you talk about or what you discuss...
Pre-trial, trial, and post-trial.
Particularly pre-trial.
You're before, more
that's,
or less, before
that's
pre-trial.
That's your first point of contact. And that's where you really need to do
pre-trial,
your work.
Right.
You do it right at pre-trial. Hey, there is no trial, right?
Right.
You can't have a trial if the pre-trial is unsuccessful in their world, right? It doesn't fit in their operation. They don't have an operation that fits. Yeah. But in a situation, say, let's say, where somebody, without meaning to, managed to go and order themselves up a trial.
Right.
Okay, so they've ordered themselves a trial. They didn't really mean to, but they did. You know, maybe they done something a little off or whatever. So they get the trial and they start, you know, the guys are pre-warned that this guy likes to try some stuff that they're not used to seeing, and they think, I know, I'll hit this guy with a psychiatric assessment routine.
But they do that mostly to everybody.
That's, you know.
They do that with everybody that get, they take in there that far.
Mm. So I think...
How do you address it? Well, sometimes if they drag you down to the psychiatrist, well, doctor... They'll want you to sign a statement because they'll want somebody has to pay for that call for him to give you a psychiatric exam. So you don't sign their statement. They'll try to get you signed statement. So we've had that happen.
Mm.
And then even if you did sign a statement, like, well, I'm in chains. I'm under duress. How could I talk to you? I'm under arrest. Well, I can't say a word. Might incriminate myself. I'm in chains. How can I talk?
Or you're captive anyway.
Or you're captive, yeah.
You're encapsulated.
And I just feel like you're under duress. You are under duress. You can't claim it, but you just say, hey, I'm sorry, but we can't talk. He said that finally they just released him from the chains.
Hmm.
You know, took the handcuffs and everything off of him so he could, you know, they thought they were going to get, you know, something out of him. And then he wouldn't sign any of the statements, so they had to take him back to jail. And he is already into a trial.
Just in relation to the sign, when we were talking earlier about the way they say they get somebody to sign for their afternoon meal, a la the prison special.
Well, you're in.
By sign. You don't mean necessarily that you have to sign your name, isn't that correct? Sometimes you just have to put press the ink to the pen.
The dot.
Press the ink, one dot. That's a signature.
Even if they put an X there, then they're signed in.
Now, on the X, I said this on air a couple of weeks ago.
If they break, if they start, you know, batting you around and breaking your arms or something, then you're going to have to sign, you know, by your signature.
Absolutely.
That way, you're taking power of that name. You're the agent. You're the representative of that name. You're taking power of attorney.
But what about in a situation, for example?
They aren't going to go for that. They'll be coming down an hour later letting you go home. Because they'll say, hey, he's acting for his own power of attorney. We have no authority over him, so you better let him go.
They can muscle in on that.
Yeah, an hour later they come and release the man just because he signed it by and he put his name. Rather than getting your hands all broke up and your back busted up.
Yeah.
And that's happened to people.
Yeah, we know something that happened to, yeah.
And they can break your back. They can put handcuffs on you and they can just break your neck. And that's happened to people. Mm. They break your neck.
Well,
they don't care.
No.
But
if you're
they
in
usually
there.
Go by the way you sign them documents, if you sign them.
You know, some of them, if they're told, make that guy sign, they will do it.
Right.
They'll do what they're told.
And they'll break your bones.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
But they usually, if somebody's given them the authority to do that.
A lot of people
just
have
by the
to
way you
that,
sign
though,
your
that,
documents.
That these people are actually prepared to do this, folks. I mean, this is not necessarily
easy
road.
They're just like you and I when they're out in their neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
But if somebody tells you to step on somebody's head, why you do it? Because that's your, supposedly your job.
Okay, but
because they don't want to be pulled up on injuring somebody. These guys that have the uniforms on.
Well, they're insured, right? They're insured. Their insurance covers all that. So
well, they don't usually try to do that because they don't want to be liable.
The guise of this so-called insurance is hovering over them. No, the point I wanted to make on the signature was, and the reason I was talking about the signature being a point, one point of ink from the nib of a pen on a page. I've noticed this myself. And everybody has confirmed this to me so far across the globe. Every time somebody goes in to get a mortgage application filled out or a credit card or whatever, some type of a loan instrument, the attorneys usually go X, 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 sign here, 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 here. But they actually write X's on the page.
Right.
They're actually signing before you do. Right. That's their signature. So the question is, if they try to pull somebody into a court, even assist somebody into court, why would you answer? You're not the principal on the thing. Whoever signed first is the principal. Whoever put the X in is principal, right? You don't have permission to create finance. We're not allowed.
Well, usually you stop it before it gets to that stage, anyway.
I know, but I'm just saying. Would you agree in theory with that? In theory, that they actually put the ink down first. Their principal on the thing.
Yeah, they are.
It's just I haven't even heard
the
any of
the chances are they're not going to give, you won't, like if it's a loan application, chances are...
No, but I mean at the time...
That has to be a what do they call it, a transaction, negotiable instruments, or what do they call the other one?
Yes, because, I mean, a lot of people in commercial redemption seem to believe, for example, that our signature creates the finance. And the point I'm making here is, folks, if they're putting the X down, it's not your signature creating the finance, they're creating the finance. And they're doing something different than what the people in commercial redemption are telling us. They may not have just... I don't know if they...
If this
occurred to them or not, but...
A lot of them, you do... You can just cross out what you don't want on there, and then you can also put your name in where the trustee is at. They usually make some bank or some corporate... You know, somebody a trustee, and you want to scratch their name out and put your name in there because you want to control that trust. Okay.
I think what happens in most cases, especially for mortgages, is usually people engage a solicitor on their thinking they're engaging one on their own behalf.
But that's one of the main things you want to do. Scratch out their name. They're the trustee, and you make put your name in there as trustee. Because it's like social welfare or social security. They got barristers and solicitors, attorneys up there managing there. They're only acting for us. But when we step forward and says, I'll manage my own trust, you're no longer acting for me. They're only acting.
Then they're redundant.
Yeah. And then you run the trust the way you want to. Your social security, your security or whatever. But you got to step forward and send them a document and tell them that you're the acting, your acting trustee is no longer needed. I'm going to be the acting, you know, I'm going to be the manager of this trust. That's the way a lot of those, even the welfare systems work, okay? And you can do it. You can give notice if you want to operate, you know, run the thing you want to. Just like here, people have to step forward and manage them. Instead of having acting, because they can just pay any amount of money they want if they're acting for you. And the way it was set up, that nobody was supposed to act. We were supposed to manage your own trust. Okay? Just like on mortgages. You just scratch their name out and put yours in there. And then if there's anything else on there, you just run a line through it. And you can sign it and bring good business.
Yeah, in business, all right. Yeah. No, it's just when I realized that this is what was occurring, for example, the X on the page, I always knew. I mean, I've been reading the banking.
You're witness.
I've read that.
If he puts that on, you're witnessing his signature.
Exactly. And he actually even signs as a witness down at the bottom. But he is witnessing the X create the finance, and then what they say to us is they instruct. Now, when you're going into purchase or to get involved in that type of thing, and let's face it, out of necessity, most people have to do it. I'd put that down as law of necessity. I mean, you got to have a roof over your head, right? And in this day and age, other than taking adverse possession, which can be dangerous in its own right, this is the way.
Well, who gave it to them in the first place?
Exactly.
We have usage, not ownership.
Yes.
So where did you get it to tell me that I've got an obligation to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The land was here. Who did they get it from? Okay. If they own it, then who did they get it from?
Yeah, I'd like to see that contract.
No. <That's good. laughs> It's about usage, not ownership. Because when you die, somebody else will come along.
Well, that's the thing. Everywhere in England in particular, and I've noticed with... there was a photographer on one of the YouTube videos a while ago. Bob is what he goes by. And he had all these so-called security men tell him, hey, you're on private property. And he stepped here, he was private property here. Everywhere was private property, according to these guys. So what the hell do they mean when they say private property? Have you worked that one out? What do you think they mean when they say private property? Because there can't be any private property.
They're calling their corporation or their entity or the straw man private property. And you see that a lot here.
Yeah, but they say, you can't be here. And of course, you're looking and you're going, but mate, I am here. I can't be anywhere else.
Well, that's what they're saying. I don't know what's there. I don't know what they're guarding or what they're, perturbed about. I think I'd make my way. I don't know if there's anything that I'd want there anyway.
Mm.
In most of these places, I don't really have any business to
do. So in relation to, I don't know if we just covered this earlier on, possession.
But it's usually public and private is totally, sounds different.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But what I find interesting is you have public bodies telling people that this is private property. And what they mean, what they actually should be saying is, this is public property. And the man, you're private. And what he's really saying is, you, the private man, have no business being on our public property.
Well, they call us public.
But they've reversed it.
They call us public.
Yeah, but we're not public. We're private.
Well, you can call me anything you want, as long as it doesn't violate my rights.
Exactly.
I don't care if you call me bullshit or whatever, Or turn around and look up the window,
In relation to, though... 9/10, possession being 9/10 of the law. Can we just put a little pin on that for a minute? Possession being 9/10 of the law. Okay.
That's where your 2 feet are at.
Right. That's what I possess. We don't mean things when we say that, do we? Possession being 9/10 of the law is not this thing, for example, I have in my hand. I'm not.
It could be a being or an object.
I'm holding
form,
this in my hand.
A form.
Do I now possess it?
It only appear to be.
You see?
Okay.
This is the point I'm making.
Because that's a form. And if you consent to it or volunteer, then they're going then you're gonna be part of their straw man.
So when they say 9/10 of the law, so in other words, if I say I possess this piece of plastic, for example, I've just given it form in their world. I've said plastic. I gave it a title. And now has something that they can act on.
Well, the fact is, I don't see anything.
No, I know, but they do, right? If I say plastic...
I don't care what they say.
No, I know. For the point is, they will say... If I say... If they ask me, what's that in your hand? And I say, oh, it's a piece of plastic. I have just given them a name.
Fact.
I've just given them something to perform their operation of law on, correct? Right.
You give them a fact. Give away your fact.
I had 9/10 before I gave... And I just gave it to them, right?
Gave it to them.
So now I don't have 9/10. They have.
They have.
But I think people out there
because they still have it.
I just gave it to him, even though it didn't leave my hand. I just gave it to him. I offered it to him because I gave it a name.
It's kind of like a mystical thing.
So what's that in your hand? Hey, it's just a thing.
I don't see anything.
Or I don't see any. Yeah, it's well, I don't know. You haven't given it to him.
Just like the guy went in, they caught the man with the furs.
The reason you have the other 1/10.
The trunk,
because they need you to keep something.
In his boot.
Pull you in.
They said, where'd you get the furs?
Yes, tell us.
And the guy says,
I'm sorry, did I cut in there?
I don't see any furs. So he says, I'm going to take you before a judge. He got in the court. And what do you got him in here for? Well, he's got a bunch of furs. And, well, the judge wanted to know where he got the furs. He says, I don't see any furs. And he asked him again and again. And he said, I don't. And he told the policeman, he says, hey, he doesn't have any furs. So they dismissed him.
Well, what happened to the furs?
Sorry.
I didn't see, sorry, he also didn't just see passed any the furs. He didn't see any furs. What happened to the furs? You'll have to ask the policeman and the judge. They probably stole them. When you go down the shop and steal, say a slab of beef or pork for supper, they catch you, they take it back, but it never goes back to the store, does it? They take it home and cook it for themselves. The police and the judge. Who got the problem with all that?
The way that I heard
the guy. So why? Who has violated who? Tell me who? Where's the remedy there?
Well, if they say that you
have, you stole a slab of bacon.
Yes.
Okay. And they take it away from you, and fine you, and take you into court. What happened to the bacon that you stole? The storekeeper didn't get it back.
It's a policeman's lunch, isn't it?
Policeman and judge's lunch. So where's the remedy, and who was stealing what?
I think that maybe the store should invoice the policeman and the judge, shouldn't they?
Well, they don't do it because they can't get any remedy.
They know better.
They know better. So why would you complain if you're in a store? A lot of these guys that get people going to shoplift out of their shops, they don't even complain to the police. They just take the loss. Okay?
That when you mentioned the
furs... Because I know shopkeepers that just take the loss. They don't even complain about people stealing from them or young children or whoever does it. Yeah. They call it shrinkage.
Yeah, I guess
so. I call it shrinkage.
Yeah. Evaporation.
Evaporation.
The angel's share in the brewing, in the distilling industry.
So I don't have all the answers to that, but I do know those two things about...
The thing you were saying about the furs, I was relaying that story probably very inaccurately to somebody, and I was putting it to them like this. It happened a while ago, and a police officer stopped someone who had loads of furs in their boot, and they could have been mink. This is the way that I remembered it. And the police officer was taking his notes, and he was saying, what are you doing with these furs? And the guy was saying, I don't see any furs. So the police officer would have to write down what the guy said. He would have to write down in his notebook, man says, I don't see any furs. And the policeman said, no, these furs in your boot. And he's having to write down, I don't see any furs, what furs? So it will make amusing evidence in court when the policeman has to stand there in court and read into evidence what the guy had said. What furs? I don't see any furs. And make himself look like a damn fool.
I just thought that
was... Well, he was just doing his job.
Yeah, of course he is, yeah.
Apparently.
they might say this.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of appropriation there.
Yeah.
So, you know, time goes on.
Yeah.
Remember, there's no time.
Sure. You seem
it's
to
an
be
illusion.
Time
and
Lord,
there's no thought
that.
Process. It's, you know, if you want to claim something, just say now.
Yeah.
That way you actually go in there and go into court, you're going in there on their time. I mean time. You're addressing the time.
Yeah.
If you, they say, be here at 12 noon for a hearing.
Hmm.
But I've seen guys say, well, the hearing wasn't noon, it wasn't until 1 o'clock. Well, they said we were running late. He said, well, I was here. They'll still send somebody to your house and pull you in.
Hmm.
But then when you get in there, all you have to do is say, the civil or criminal.
Yeah.
And you'll walk away.
Yeah, that sounds good. When you were talking to General Goodshafting earlier, it just seems to be so simple. Are you addressing me? And is this civil or criminal? And if he says civil, then it's please produce a contract so that I can perform on it. Or if I've broken the contract, I can make remedy. And if he says criminal, then it's quite simply, where is the injured party so that I can make
recompense? Complaint.
Yeah.
Did you see me commit this crime?
Yeah.
George.
Because they got to swear an oath or, you know, and come in and say that you injured them. A lot of times you think to yourself, I'd be glad to make remedy. I like to pay all my back bills and everybody that I've injured.
There was another thing you said earlier, Mr. T, about there was an example of when in the Bible, Jesus was facing trial, and there was something that they said to him, and Jesus said something about, is this something that you are accusing me of, or someone has told you about? Can you just remind me about that?
Well, they had a lot of dialogue there. And all he asked the pilot was, are you saying this on your own, or has someone told you about me?
So in other words, has Pilate got a claim, or is he just...
Yeah, and he didn't.
Is he just
got,
relating a claim?
He washed his hands, remember, and turned him over, you know.
Yeah.
And they actually swapped some other man, some other criminal, for Jesus. You know, because some other, you know, one that was supposed to hang on some other middle cross, they hung Jesus up on that one. Some other man had committed some kind of a robbery or crime or misdemeanor or something. Mm-hmm. And they actually, there was a contract swapped Jesus for this man that was supposed to be, you know, hung on that cross, according to the, you know, if you read on in that passage. So there was a little, you know, whatever you want to call it, contract or connivet or whatever you want to call it there, which I thought was interesting.
Mm. It is interesting. There's a lot of, you know...
They call him Barabbas or something like that, as
Barabbas.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
And then there was a little bit that happened before that went in, but it was just a bunch of arguments and jargon, you know, about... And until Jesus got to the point, you know, if somebody was a king and they didn't want any king in operating in their jurisdiction, and they thought that he was going to jeopardize their, you know, commercialism or their kingship or the guy head, like the queen or the king.
Do you think, part of the trial, and...
But he had, actually, he washed his hands. All these judges and solicitors, barristers wash their hands. They don't commit anybody any crime because they take leave of court.
Yeah.
Then you have to volunteer, consent, or assent to the thing. So they come out with clean hands. They didn't violate anybody.
No.
Or do anything to anybody.
No.
They just might have persuaded you a little bit, and you addressed their persuasion. Okay. And you might not want to do that, you know. You might want to just be kind of refraining a little bit from, you know, letting them refer, you know, give you all that persuasion to contract with them.
And give them as little as possible by the sounds of it. I mean, some of the stuff that you said is clever, and it's very simple at the same time, because it's not rubbing the whole thing in their face.
Right. It's not being contemptible.
That's right. And it's not, I mean...
Straightforward.
A court is not the place where you're going to expose magistrates and expose the whole system.
Yeah, you aren't going to expose
because
anything.
They're going to find some way to abuse you with their system if you do that.
If you do that.
You want to get out of there as quickly as possible if you find yourself in there. And that means saying as little as possible.
Absolutely.
Being clever about what you do say and getting the hell out of there before being drawn into any conversation.
Right.
And certainly not trying to be clever, which right. is a real temptation once you've had a couple of successes.
Yeah, because we like to tell them how smart we are.
That's right. I was a bit worried about General Goodshafting after his first couple of videos. I thought he was going to get really smarty pants about the whole thing. But I'm glad that he's come through on the sovereignty issue.
Yeah, it's what little I do know, you know, might be helpful. I don't have all the answers. Still learn it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what? I mean, you must be all of 45 by now.
45 and holding.
I mean, you've been around probably longer than I have, Mr. T, and you've seen some changes, no doubt more changes than I have. I mean, you've probably got a greatest perspective on how this thing is panning out. What would you expect to see in the next 20 years of your life? If you're lucky enough to be with us, and if we're lucky enough to have you.
Fortunately, there's really not that much has happened. Maybe some of the wars and the way they're fighting over oil and commercialism, and they're building, you know, all these interstates and all these highways to have more access to the people, you know, police them.
Yeah.
You know, they're building more freeways. Like in some parts of the, like in Germany even, they built a lot of freeways, yeah. highways. And, you know, they're tightening up reins on people, more control. I think they're building them in a lot of these juristic countries the other way now. They go, you know, like parallel and then diagonal
mm-hmm.
across What's one another. You know, just for instance, on the highways
yeah.
or the freeways, and some places they call them interstates.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. That it wasn't back that way in I call it the horse and buggy days.
Oh, wow.
Because a lot of these places didn't even have really stop signs on streets or county roads. And then people started, when they started putting them up, they started shooting them.
Of course, it's a natural thing to do.
They started pulling them down.
I've seen it.
Speed limit signs.
Yeah.
Stop signs.
Yeah.
Yield signs.
It's a natural thing to take a pot shot at.
But see that, yeah, because it used to be that they were actually that land, half the road belonged to that person that owned the property on that side, and the other half belonged to the other side. But then the state, or the, you know. I just call them the states. State bought that property when that property changed hands, and they've got most of that all gobbled up in government land now.
Yeah.
All the highways. That's why they can police them the way they do. Mm-hmm. It used to not be that way. See, when they had all they had was the county sheriff, the law. They didn't really have too many police, and when they did, if they did have police or guarda, or they call them cops, whatever you want to call them, all they were actually just to go out and help people. At one time, all they were appointed to do is go out and pick up the garbage off the road. Originally, when the cops or police were put into force, that was their job.
Yeah, wow.
And to assist citizens.
Yeah.
To assist them.
Well, I like the sound of that, assisting citizens.
Now, you read the law. You go back and read it, what their specific job was. And all they were to go out and pick up the rubbish off the road and, assist people. They wore a uniform.
Oh, it's a long way.
But I was shocked when I read that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
but now they're
from what you see at Heathrow or Gatwick.
But now they're jumping on people.
Dublin, yeah.
They got totally. That's what's changed in my life.
Yeah, crikey.
And where is it going to go in the next 20 years? The money is making a big effect. Education is making a big effect. If they can control the money and the courts and the education system.
Well, they've got the education system for
sure. Then they're probably pretty well got a control over the people.
But you know, I was encouraged recently to meet a group of teenagers. I was speaking to a cleaner, actually, in England, a teenage girl house cleaner, and I talked to everyone about the sovereignty issue, and I just thought I would just mention that I'd been into this stuff a bit, and I was absolutely amazed when this girl, who's only about 19 years old, came back and said that she'd heard about the sovereignty, she'd heard about the free man stuff, she'd seen Zeitgeist, the movie, and there was a whole group of these kids who were into this stuff, and they seemed to have a pretty intermediate already level of education about this stuff. So I'm looking forward to actually going and joining in with some of those conversations and steering them along the right lines as far as the stuff that I've learned and giving them some contacts. But these are just kids, and you know, like I say, I was surprised to find that they knew something about this, and it seemed to them that you know, it was quite common parlance to be talking about free man, and they knew about birth certificates, and they knew about the Bank of England being a private bank, you know, before the age of 20.
So I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because
how seldom do you run into that?
Yeah, but I was very happy to hear that. I talked to kids about it. You know, it's never too early to start telling kids about the world that they live in. Some parents have the idea that we have to protect kids from the perhaps what they consider to be the harsh realities of the world, but they're going to find out soon enough, and I don't want my kids to be finding out when they're going to at the point when they're going to be suffering with it. I want to tell them about it so that it just becomes a part of the accepted reality, that it's something they've got to watch out for. They know how to handle themselves, they know how the system is organized, so they don't have to become a victim of it. There's something like the sheep police, unfortunately, that I've experienced, where people who are so frightened to make a change because they become so frightened of the police and so frightened of their own banks, so frightened of having benefits withdrawn, so frightened of having the land registry cause a problem for them so that they can perhaps not exchange titles of a property as quickly as they might otherwise do. So they won't even risk writing a letter to the land registry or asking a bank a simple question that relates to the nature of their contracts in case it causes a problem. And that's what causes me concern, that people are too frightened even to ask a question that's an innocent question.
Yeah, you don't want to go through that land register. That's just like here, they got a land register and they got the court of the county register for land. And what they call it here, the land registry? Yeah, that's just a private corporation.
Sure.
And besides, your county has already got two hats. One is for the commercial land registry, you know, and the other one. Actually, all your county offices have two hats. Depends on if one's public, one's private. We were talking about public and private a while ago. And actually, if you're like Social Security, the reason they can bill you all the time is because that's hooked in with the assessor, and they can, you know, your county tax, your Social Security.
Well.
That's why they, you know, they got that number that you have, and they can assess you. Everything that you do is their beneficiary of that account, your number.
Okay. What would our standing be? Are we a joint beneficiary?
You're not the beneficiary, they are.
But I mean, when we make a claim on a national insurance account, we're taking benefit.
Because that's where they get the jurisdiction to assess it, because you give them the authority, because when you went down and signed up for that number.
Yeah.
Usually people sign up for that number.
So in what legal capacity do we access benefits from the national insurance account if they're the beneficiary?
Well, you make yourself the manager of that account. And then you have to send them notice in the county that you live in where, you know, you're running your own account. And they can't assess you. That's why the county assesses you on everything, land, property, everything, right? They assess you. They get a land assessor. They raise your taxes, right? They assess you.
Yeah.
They get an assessor down there. Then they have a treasury too. And they're different, right? And then they got a land registry, county.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them separate. First, they have to assess your property, right? Send an assessor out.
I guess this is, for my
what they call it
this would be business rates.
Business rates.
Commercial premises.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you consent to that, I have found if they have a new assessment, or they call it, what'd you call it?
Business rate.
Just put a thing on that window and said, that you aren't going to accept that. You're just telling them that you aren't going to accept that business rate.
Could you just use the same thing you were talking about earlier?
That
about
window.
Return to sender.
And then if they send you a tax statement, do the same thing to that.
I do not recognize you, understand your intent, that kind of stuff. It's all.
And as long as you get your oath of office to the sheriff.
Oh, well, I remember you saying about that.
If you don't do that, they'll keep coming after you.
So the sheriff, and that would be the.
That's what lets Interpol and CIA and all those guys in. Bar Association come in and represent you.
Yeah.
Because, they're all got the same level of capacity. The Interpol, you've heard of them. CIA, FBI. And they got the. In England they have the, what do they call it?
MI6?
MI6. So they got the, another one, what do they call it?
Well, they've got MI5 and the,
They got, what's the name of the, they're into the police department, And, you know what it is.
CIA.
You hear them talk about it all the time. Sometimes they get pulled up on things. I just can't think of the name of it.
Well, we've got MI6, MI5.
Yeah, but they're sort of like a branch. Run the
special branch.
Yeah, and they got another name. That's not the name.
Scotland Yard?
Scotland Yard.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the same level. And they got to go through the sheriff's office to get authority to come out and raid you or do whatever they want to you.
So you need to notice them that you...
Yeah, the sheriff's got to give them authority to come to your house or whatever you're doing.
So we could write to the sheriff of Nottingham and tell him that we accept his oath.
Oath.
And his oath is to protect us.
Yeah, to protect your civil rights. And so that you're not a citizen of the state, you're a sovereign. English sovereign.
We make that statement to him.
And then for failure to state a claim on which relief can be rendered. That's telling him that if anybody has got a claim against you, you're glad to make restitution. And if they don't have a failure to state a claim on which relief can be rendered. That's what you're telling it. If anybody's got a claim, then come and get me. I'll make restitution. And at the very ending line, ask Vince, for failure to state a claim on which relief can be rendered. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's got a lot of meaning. For failure to state a claim on which relief can be granted. You're willing to make relief.
For failure to state a claim on which relief can be granted.
Yeah, you're trying to make relief, if they can state a claim.
Yeah.
That they've been injured by you.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling the sheriff.
Yeah.
See, he operates in two departments. He operates. Where do you think they file their summonses and their indictments to the sheriff?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That.
Well, where do you suppose you're going to file your indictments or your summonses when you want to summon some of those people into court?
Well, perhaps we should.
You do this to the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what's your beef? Okay. Yeah. Give them the oath of office.
But we don't normally do that, do we?
Apparently not. No, and then you wonder why they keep sending you letters. Violating your civil rights. And you're claiming you got civil rights, you don't even know you have them.
Not even
that's the way with me, too. It applies to me.
Yeah.
Not only you, but me as well. Everything that I say applies just as much to me as it does to you. General.
Yeah. Well, he's here somewhere.
Huh?
It's almost like there's is the sheriff like a a prefect in a classroom, and if we've got a squabble with another one of the kids, we would go to the prefect and have him administrate it, because he's there to keep order. Instead of trying to, you know, when it gets to a certain point, we're not going to end up in a fight. We ought to get the prefect.
He's an arbitrator.
Yeah, as an arbitrator.
And the only way he can get call a jury together to, you know, bring you into court or somebody to court, you gotta give him the authority to impanel a jury. And when you give them the authority, then they're gonna panel a jury and they're gonna take you into court.
Yeah.
But it's got to go through the sheriff. He's got to impanel the jury.
Okay. That's interesting, yeah.
The jury. I mean, the sheriff.
Yeah.
His department. He's got a whole bunch of people working for him, and they'll say that they're the sheriff. Well, he's got a big department. He has a lot of people working for him.
Yeah.
And everybody has to go through his office. They might not go down there.
No.
They just might send a wire down there, and they send the secretary send it out to the police department or Scotland Yard. Okay? Operate through the sheriff's office.
It sounds like in England we could do with finding an awful lot out about our sheriffs and how they operate.
Yeah, each county.
Yeah.
And then if you think you travel to another county, give that guy the oath of office too if you travel in that county.
Because of the...
But then send a copy to the one that where you live.
Hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
See, what you do is take one oath of office, and then if you think it ought to go to any other bodies, put it at the bottom, enclosures at the end of the letter. And then you just make one original, send it to your main man, and then you make copies and send all the other copies, all the same, but they're copies, to the other guys, either like the Attorney General, Secretary of State, or whoever you want to go to. And then send them all copies. Okay?
The only
anytime you do anything, send a notice to the sheriff.
Because the sheriff seems to get involved on the side of bailiffs in England.
Well, that's who runs it.
Yeah.
The peace officers, who do you think they are? They run through the sheriff's office.
Hmm.
Who do you think the, everything is run through the sheriff's office. But you just don't hold up a flag, you know, big, you know, advertisements to say, oh, here they are, Scotland Yard, MI5, Interpol, they all go through the sheriff's office.
Well,
you tax people to get you into the court or the jail or whatever they want to take you. Anywhere in the you know, Commonwealth jurisdiction.
Well, isn't it funny that as someone who's been brought up in England, I'm almost completely unaware of the input and involvement of a sheriff's office in any of these affairs. No one speaks of that. Yeah, we receive no education.
Well, they don't want anybody to know it.
No. But it sounds like we could really do with knowing that. We put the sheriff on oath to...
Why are they still in there if they aren't so powerful? If they wasn't given original authority?
I mean, Sheriff of Nottingham's been there for an awful long time, as far
as Robin
Hood will know.
They're elected.
Yeah. Are they elected?
Okay. Yeah.
Crikey.
Even here, they give everybody the idea that they're not, they say they're appointed. Well, maybe part of the department that he has is appointed, but he sure as hell not. He's elected. Okay? I think that's where they get around it. They only say a part of his department is appointed. Well, that's true. They aren't lying. They're telling the truth. Okay?
They generally do.
They generally do tell the truth.
Partly.
But it's only partially.
Yeah.
It's a part.
That's right.
See, we're actually, sovereigns are set apart.
Mm.
We're set apart. We're not part, we're set apart.
But just going back to where you write to the sheriff and you will accept his oath, you identify yourself as a sovereign and tell him that you stand ready to make amends if there's a genuine claim.
Right.
Against you. But does that mean that if there's a non-genuine claim against you, you refer it to the sheriff? You send the materials
over? Regardless, he's, you know, just like when your friend got the, you know, they're going to foreclose on his house, he apparently panicked, whatever. And he brought him and he opened them up and he got this and this is going to happen. And he had a whole mitt full of papers, you know. I said, hey, bullshit, bullcrap, seal it back up, tape it up, and send it back to the sheriff. Let him sort it out. Why are you going to get worried about it and get involved? He sent it back, and he hadn't heard anything since. How long has it been, Vince? 6 months? Okay, it's been 6 months. Yeah, they're trying to take his house away from him. He owes, like, what, 70,000 euro or pounds on it?
Mm.
And they haven't touched him. They've been out a few times, but that's all it amounts to.
Well, that's good. That's a useful tool.
Huh?
It's a useful tool for a sovereign.
Yeah.
Not to have to battle with these...
Where did they get the house in the beginning?
Yeah.
I mean, who gave it to them?
Well, sure. Who gave them the land?
What they do is just keep financing the same house.
Hmm.
Look how much money they make off of one property
Huh? It must be... I mean... Someone at some time is paying for the house continuously until from the time the house is built to the
uninterruptedly. It's uninterrupted, continuously.
Someone's paying for that house for the whole life it's there.
And then they rebuild it and they do it again. Which one is that? Is that yours?
Oh,
excuse me. Are we supposed to be talking? Well, I don't know what's happening.
Still
are you still on?
Yeah.
So what's this all about?
That's the one I wrote.
Where's my glasses? Oh, that's the one you wrote. This is the Oath of Office. What's that? By the Irish Sovereign.
I'll just explain what I've put into the General's hand here. That's the Sovereign Seal. The 12-string Sovereign Seal on an envelope. And this is how... Notice there's no stamp on this. This would have been sent
your
to the vice.
Well, holding you.
Yep.
No problem. There's no exchange of currency, if you will.
Oh, I see. So this has been through the postal system.
Okay, I'm accepting and acknowledging your oath. Okay.
But it's got a sovereign seal.
That's it.
So it's got a sovereign seal and it's been recognised by the postal system. Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Postal system.
Okay, would you give me a copy of this without your name on it? And if there's anything you want to cross out on it, fine.
Well,
I mean, I'm just asking you if you give me a copy, but just cross. You know, you don't have to put. If there's anything you want to cross out.
The important thing about this document is this is actually a duplicate. When I made the original document, I used carbon paper, so I actually made three copies of this at the same, or three duplicates at the same time. It's not a copy, it's a duplicate, you follow?
Mm-hmm. I just, sometimes I lose
the
stuff.
Acceptance. I don't necessarily want it read out on the radio, but...
No, I wouldn't
no,
do that,
but
no.
I just wanted to show general...
No, it's good.
...how this operates.
Yeah. Sometimes I lose stuff and... not lose it out, but it's there, but I just can't find it.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to actually show the general that the format, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, I just love to ask you about the copy. Yeah, he'd be interested, I'm sure. That's good.
So, sorry, do you want to go through that on the air, Harry, or do you want to leave it to... Yeah.
Okay. The seal, the sovereign seal, which the government, the de facto government, Reger Corporation, are using under stationery, is obviously exempt from currency postage stamps. As we know, it's on all the government documents. And they're operating under your sovereign seal. They're using... the people's sovereign seal to send the people bills and liens in the post on envelopes that carry the sovereign seal. It just goes through the post. So, I mean, that's the people's seal. So, essentially, the people can use it.
They can use that.
Mm-hmm, the people can. It's our seal. As Billy Maguire said, this is our sovereign seal, because you're sovereign. Either you use it or you lose it. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It's like your health. Ignore your health and it will go away. So you have an envelope here. Just one.
Sure. Is that the right one?
Oh, yeah. That's a 12-string. Sovereign seal. And of course, for the people who are unfamiliar with this, you know, the people mistakenly refer to it as the harp. But if it's reversed, like the Guinness harp is turned the other way. That's referred to as the harp. But it's when it's twisted the other way on government documents, it's actually the sovereign seal. Even members of the government are not aware of the fact. So you can use this, guys. You can find a printer as well. They put them on your envelopes and they stop right under the sovereign seal.
Who sent that to him?
12, I'm sure.
Who sent that to him?
Oh, that came in the post, yeah, through the post.
Oh, really? Sure. No sticker, huh?
No stamp required.
So must have came from...
User.
Did he open it?
No.
He must have.
Well, it has been opened, of course, yeah, but it was sealed.
What's in it?
What's in it?
May I ask?
Well, what was in it? I don't know if that's in it. Do you want to have a look?
I don't know. I may have been taken out.
Ah, yeah, sure.
There was something there, maybe at one time.
Yeah, it's history now, whatever it was.
Okay. History. It's like tradition.
Contents of like oral history.
Like oral testimony.
Yeah. So
that's tradition.
But it's gone through some type of a franking machine, because there is a kind of a mark of something on it.
What was in this? What was in there?
What was in which?
In the envelope.
Can't recollect, actually, what was in
there. A couple of newspapers.
Oh, yeah. Sure, okay. Yeah. And
that was from a private party. Okay.
A sovereign, yeah. A sovereign engaging in sovereign with the sovereign seal on an envelope. So, you know, it's quite simple. We're going to wrap it up anyway tonight, because we got to hit the road.
No, I think that's what they sent my birth certificate down.
Mr. and Mrs.
I don't know if I still have
lady.
That envelope or not.
Good shopping and General Good
Shopping. Did it go off?
Mr. T. and Vin and myself, we bid you all a ihuah.